Ali Mosley, good morning.
Good chat. Enjoyed that one.
We'll be there.
Anyway, what do you like if Luke's working the phone at home, Al? Do you give him a hard time and say, put that bloody thing down, or you're all right?
No, he's on the phone more than he's not on the phone. It's glued to his ear, so we just side by side do our own thing.
Yeah.
I just go and play with my horse. No one bugs me.
Understand. See, that's good.
That is good understanding.
Yeah exactly.
Well, it was tough conditions, wasn't it? It just deteriorated through the day. We got through the group ones, and Magic Time got the job done for Graham Begg. Ripping horse, Magic Time. So winning what? That's a second group one, isn't it?
And Graham Begg's just had a really good run this prep of his horses. He's been travelling them a lot up to Sydney, and he's not afraid to place them and move them around. And he's really targeted this Sydney Carnival, and it's been rewarding for him. He's a master trainer, and the writing was probably on the wall there to a certain extent. But it's been much documented, but it was a very interesting day with the way the track was throwing up results for horses that were normally even wet trackers. And I think a few of the jockeys even said that in their post-race comments. You know, this horse is a wet tracker and it didn't handle that. So very interesting, but Magic Time was a fantastic winner for Graham Begg and a good result for a mare who's been very consistent all through her prep and multiple stakes winner now.
Now, broadsiding came over the top in the Champagne Stakes.
Which was a bit frustrating because I was on linebacker. I had a lot of faith in this horse. I think John O'Shea does, Tommy Berry does, but everything he's doing... Well, I'll talk about broadsiding first because I'm talking from my pocket there about linebacker, but I know he's a horse that... they've obviously just kept there, and even James Cummings post-race said the same thing. He said my team were the ones who sort of found him there in the mix, because there was sort of a bit of conjecture around whether Godolphin had a really strong hand of two-year-olds, and they come out and they win one of the most prestigious two-year-old races in the Champagne Stakes at the end of it in good fashion. So it was a great win. I think James was pretty pleased with it, but I really think linebacker is still a horse to follow. He's done it tough, and his whole prep has been a little bit sort of checkered. He came out at Warwick Farm and didn't get a run because he just got his nose through. I think he reared up and got his nose through the barriers, and then he came out at Hawkesbury and he had to contend with a heavy eight, so we thought that he would handle the track. He went back to the trials. He's still colty, he's still raw. Physically, I think he'll be an even better three-year-old. And to go from winning the way that he's worked through the grades up to running second in the Champagne behind a very handy one is fantastic. So we've got to black book him, and we'll follow him very closely into his three-year-old season.
Geez, Marzu just lapped up the conditions, Al.
Didn't he? And I think it was relief. I was standing next to Joe Pride when he crossed the line, and I don't know if I've ever seen Joe Pride cheer so much. It was, I guess, a sense of relief, really, that, you know, that what he'd done with his horses has worked. And as soon as the rain came, we knew that it was going to play right into Marzu's favour. And credit to Jamie Carr too, because again, I think he's probably just the jockey of the carnival, the way that she's been riding. She rode two winners eventually with the Kintyre, or a protest upheld there. So Jamie did a great job. Joe's done a great job with him, and all systems go for the rest of his team. I imagine heading up to Queensland now. Cinewan, did you have something on him? He was fourth. Apparently he hated the track and he still went fourth.
Yeah. I didn't have something big anyway.
He'll get me one day, that horse.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if he keeps going the way he's going.
True. That's what I said to Joe as well. He laughed.
What'd you make of that protest? You mentioned it as well. Kintyre winning over Gold Bullion there.
I think it was much documented that if there'd been any more than what it eventually was, but the margin in it, even a half head, I think it probably would have been dismissed. But it was interesting. We were watching the whole thing. I think probably the right result in Kintyre. You know, one for the guys who have been right thereabouts. I know Gary's been... really, really loyal with this horse. He's always had a big opinion of him. He's been right thereabouts. I think there's been one occasion where he's missed a placing this whole prep, and that was in the Tullock, where he ran fourth. So great result for connections of Kintyre, Gary Portelli, and probably a bit disappointing, of course, when that protest is upheld. But I think probably the right decision was made there.
Did you get to see the Quokka on the weekend?
I did, yes. I watched that. I raced home after the races got called off, and I watched the Quokka, and that was probably the exact scenes that they were hoping for with Bjørn and the result that came up. But it was exciting. It's a great race. I'd like to get over there one year, but it just doesn't really coincide very well with our carnival at the moment. I think next year they said it might be a week later, so it wouldn't clash with All Age, which would be great, because then we could get over there and see what it's all about.
It's very hard to fit it all in. Now, who are your stars of the autumn carnival?
Okay, well, the Autumn Carnival, I've got a couple to follow out of the weekend, and then I think we even start, you know what, actually, maybe Friday we need to start talking about Queensland and who we're going to follow up there, because the markets won't be too far away. I don't know if they're this week or next week, but they're pretty close, so we'll talk about them as well. But I think a few to follow out of the weekend. Rapidash, obviously you had a distinct advantage covering, disadvantage covering ground on Saturday, so I think Rapidash, to get so close, held plenty of merit. She raced back and wide. And luckless, but I think if she can find another one of our highways, she will be right in that. I think here he is. Sinawan performed well above market expectations. So he covered more ground than any other, didn't like the track, looked likely to drop out at the 300-metre mark, yet the horse picked himself up with minimal urging, ran the equal second-best last furlong of the race. And I think he also pulled up one out of five lanes. So huge credit to that horse. Interesting one, Bandersnatch. I think he showed he's still got plenty to offer. He drew wide and had to do it the hard way, three wide again in a very open edition of the All Age Stakes, but he stuck to his task gamely. He hasn't won for over a year, but he's run some great races in the meantime. So Saturday's effort suggests he'll be right there and a force to be reckoned with.
Thank you, Ali. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys. You too.